Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Good afternoon, Kim.
Oh, hello. Hi, Jen.
Hello. It can be a little disconcerting when the unmuting doesn't quite there's that funny delay. So thanks for being with us today, Kim, to talk about your experience of participating in the Commitment Buddies program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. Thank you. So we do have a new quarter of this program coming on up, so we thought it would be fun to hear from someone who has had the direct experience of participating in the program. And so thanks for being with us to do that.
Well, thank you. Do you want me to just dive right in?
Please, go
okay.
for it.
Okay. So this will be my third quarter coming up, and when I started two quarters ago, I was kind of in this mode of just like, I'm signing up for everything. And I had a lot of resistance to this for some reason, because it was like, what, you know, I was kind of, there was resistance, but I did it anyway, because I was in that mode of just, I'm signing up.
Right. And part of what I know is resistance is the green light. So, okay, this must be the one for me.
Exactly.
So on you went.
On I went. So the first month or the first quarter, I chose just one commitment, and it was kind of a massive, really, you know, kind of really caught up in a lot of the identities of who I am and who I think I am and like what my job and everything, and it was really challenging, and I did it for the 3 months, and when I got done, I was kind of just like really, it was just, I was kind of exhausted from it, and I felt, I didn't really feel a lot of it, I didn't feel successful with it, so I signed up again for another quarter, it happened to kind of coincide with the year-long when we were doing the first and second steps of the year-long retreat.
Okay.
And in particular, the second step was where we chose a commitment. And we And so I chose the same commitment that I had done for the 3 months. And there was a huge transformation. And I was able to keep the commitment. And so then I was really excited to sign up for the second quarter, you know, for this quarter of Commitment Buddies. And I changed, well, so I was drunk with power, as Sherry would say, from having been able to keep this commitment that had been so daunting for the first quarter, that I decided, I kind of changed up how I was doing the commitments for this quarter, and I broke them into 3 1-month commitments. That has been really great. What I've seen, I mean, what I'm starting to see is that part of the issue I had with the first quarter was that I was not specific enough, and so conditioning would really come in there because I wasn't able to really be sure if I had completed my commitment sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Right. So there's that kind of conversation where the voices want to come in, well, I mean, but kind of, I mean, you didn't really. I mean, did you? And you can't really say because it wasn't clear enough. And so you saw that. And so that sounds like it informed how you wanted to practice with it the next time.
Exactly. And the thing that was interesting about not specific enough is that at some point through that 3 months, I was like, you know what? Just because conditioning says I didn't do it, that's conditioning saying I'm going to say that I did do it. And so, you know, it was kind of cutting both directions. There was a little bit of a duality, and that was kind of an interesting awareness, actually.
Oh, it's so huge. And, you know, what I love so much about what you're saying, Kim, is it so underscores how it's all about the process, right? And so commitments are such a big deal, not because the particular content of the thing, but because if we practice with it in the way that you're describing, we see so much, right? We see about how, oh, well, I see, I need to make it more specific. Or, you know, oh, okay, so conditioning's getting in there by it saying I didn't do it. Well, I don't have to believe that, right? I mean, I can have my own experience of it. You know, so we're informed all the way along the way, and that this is a way that you're supporting yourself in that process by having someone on the other end of this texting that you do each day to be able to have that accountability with it.
Exactly. And since you brought that up, I think it's very lovely how we have a second commitment kind of embedded in our commitment, because we have a commitment to text our buddy. And if we don't text our buddy, that's sort of like the ghost commitment, or however you want to say
exactly.
it. But, yeah. but if you don't text your buddy, that's part of the commitment too. And you know, that can make you feel badly, you know, because you get the text. Mm-hmm. It's a very neutral text. It's like the text was not received. Or it can just be a like, oh, you know, and that transformed for me also. At first I felt badly when I would, you know, miss a text. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. It was just information.
That's so huge too, isn't it? That is so huge. Because the text that you receive when you didn't send a text, as you say, it's completely neutral. A text was not received. And so then we get to watch what conditioned mind does with that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so so I did make my commitments much more specific, and I chose the time amount of a month this time instead of 3 months. And it was my first commitment, which was the same one, which I was still kind of working with, which, you know, is ongoing. I did it. It was easier. And then the second month I thought, you know what, I'm going to do something really easy, like brush my teeth, like just commit to brush my teeth twice a day. And it felt so fun to just be successful with something that, in quotes, you know, that the ego says is easy, and, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh-oh, Jen?
Okay, Jen, are you back?
I'm here, Michael, yep.
Okay, good.
All right, so I don't know where I dropped off, Kim, but I think I was hearing you for quite a while when you weren't hearing me.
Oh, dear,
so
okay.
I heard you talking about how the brushing the teeth. And so I was saying how brilliant that is, you know, because what we're doing with that is we're practicing with a process. And once we practice with that process and choosing something little, we often talk about that, right? That's so perfect, because that's a place for me to really train with it when it doesn't feel like the stakes are so high. And once I feel like I've really mastered that process, then I can apply it to anything in my life.
Exactly. And then since that was so successful and I was having this experience of like the drunk with power thing, voices came in and said, yeah, you can do that and you can do this, but you can't do this. And so I did it, though. I did it. And I chose...
That's the drunk with power, right?
It was. Yeah. It was really like, yeah. Wow, I'm doing it. And it's just making a commitment in an area where I had a lot of resistance. And so I chose, you know, to do this commitment only 5 minutes a day, which, you know, conditioning will say, well, that's not enough, but it's 100% more than I was doing before, you know?
Exactly. And it fits all the criteria we always talk about, right? I'm going to choose what's manageable, and I'm going to practice with that, and I'm going to get to see everything around that. And then if it drops in that I want to up the stakes a little, then I'll up the stakes next time. I mean, it's just so, everything about it is so perfect.
It's very fun. And the last thing I'll say because I see we're at the top of the hour here, is that the timer has become my new best friend. And it's just it's just changed. That little tiny aspect has just changed my life, because now I use it for everything. And when when the timer goes off, I'm done, you know,
and it's just really
supportive. So
that really thwarts the thing you talked about a few minutes ago around, well, I mean, did I do it? Did I not do it? Like, nope, I'm setting the timer and I'm doing it for that period of time. And when the timer goes off, it's like the bell ringing at the monastery. I'm done. On to the next thing.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I just encourage anybody to, you know, give it a try. It's really a fun, powerful program.
is. It's so simple and so powerful, and supports us right at the heart of what we're doing in practice, practicing with processes in this way.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us, Kim. Lovely to talk to you. Sorry for the interruption there, but we got back on track.
Yay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
Go
Kim.
Happy.
Take care. Go happy. Good night.
Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Kim. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
Yes, great.
I loved it. It's so, everything about it. You know, the fact that it really is so simple, right? It's so simple, and yet everything comes up in it that comes up everywhere in practice. Well, but that's not a big deal. Well, but you can't do that. Well, but, right? That conditioning, ego is the master of well, but, right? And so as Kim says, So I just do the next thing. Turn my little timer, and then just like being at the monastery, timer goes up. Okay, done. Did that. And the voices just really have nowhere to go with it.
Mm. It's a beautiful thing when they have nowhere to go.
Yeah. And that, and also that point that they were making, that, you know, start off with something small and insignificant because it's a process. We don't have to, you know, I'm addicted to heroin. Now I'm going to do commitment buddies in order to get off of heroin. You know, start with, you know, brushing my teeth twice a day or whatever. I started to say getting to bed by 10 o'clock, but for some people, of course, that's the equivalent of addicted to heroin. So, but whatever it is for a person, you know, that is that thing that, I'm pretty sure I could do it. I've never really tried. You know, I've never kept track to see if I could do that for a month or for 3 months or whatever. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I probably can. And then we just build. Good. It's very kind.
Yes, very kind. Very simple, direct, kind.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Mm-hmm. Very zen.
Very zen. Very zen. I have announcements here.
All right.
Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. And a new quarter starts April 15th. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program beginning April 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And that's what we were just hearing about from Kim and Jen.
Yeah, and there it is, coming right on up.
There it is, coming right
up.
And for those who want to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature, our powerful recording and listening training course starts May 13th. This engaging 6-week course includes recording and listening exercises with time in class for processing your experience. And for these and all practice offerings, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders today, if you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1 to get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic and about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Sherry, I think we're ready to go here.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. This is Justin in Vermont.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hi there.
What's going on?
Well, this is one of the first Tuesdays in quite a while that I haven't been working, so it's great to speak with you.
Great to have you, and lovely to know you've been working.
Yes, yeah.
Many people can't say that for the last year,
mm-hmm.
so that's yeah. that's a thing to be grateful for right there, isn't it?
Yes, that's worth not overlooking. I had either I could share about practice success that I'm kind of looking to maybe build on or where to go from. Maybe I'll start there. I hope
that
the true
good.
And because I've wrestled with recording and listening and integrating it, I've done the recording and listening class twice. I'm hoping that the true reflections will be offered again because I think it filled up. But I guess what I got was I had, like, I think ego takes over when the record button is pressed, and it seems difficult to access a heartful perspective. But there's some lines that I have found will always kind of speak to my general experience, and I kind of compiled some of these partly a way of very quickly reframing past events, acknowledging them, and also kind of moving into the present. It was, and so I just made reading that each morning a part of my day, and it was no matter, I could start out feeling like it was phony, and I would drop into it at some point and kind of embody the sentiments. And so
let me ask you this, Justin. Why do you want to drop into that sincerity? Why would you want to make a recording like that or listen to a recording like that?
Why would I want to?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just made it my habit to read it every morning. And I guess that's one of my questions, too, is for some reason
Justin, why? Why are we even having this conversation? And it, rather than just back you into a corner, let me answer it. Let me answer that question for you, okay?
Okay.
You want these things because of who you are.
Mm-hmm. So there's a recognition.
That's right. It puts you in touch with who you are. The very fact that you pick up that recorder is all the proof you would ever need or anybody else would ever need of who you are authentically. Now, ego, of course, wants to make it all about content. But did you feel the way... You know, you didn't. I mean, that sounded really lame. That's just your best chance to see ego run its lame little interference, right? That's irrelevant to who you are and what you're about. Can you get a sense of that?
So it almost doesn't matter what goes on the recorder.
That's right. And as you really make peace with that, it'll change. Because what you're really having an opportunity to do in that practice is to be with him. To be with the authentic human being. His heart,
yeah,
the goodness, right? That's what That's what you're getting a chance for. So if you know, so there you are. You know this guy, and you know you're gonna get together. Maybe you're gonna have dinner, or you're gonna go for a walk or something. You're gonna talk, and he's just a really good human being, kind and sincere and just good, right? Now, when you're walking along with him, do you really care what you talk about?
No.
It's not about what you talk about, right? It's just about being with him, being in that energy, having that company, having that experience. That's what we're going for. And that's what, when you pick up, you know, in the morning, the fact that you would make a choice to start off this way. Now, it's wonderful that, you know, there are these things that put you in touch with and, you know, move you to a, that's why we encourage people to, you know, make recordings about the things that you love and care about and what you think is beautiful and all of that, because it does put us in touch with that place that we're talking about. But we must never do that thinking that that's what's important, because it's not. Because even if he got completely caught up in something at work and got upset about something and, you know, just cussing and stomping around, he's no less lovable. Mm-hmm. He's not now a bad person, where before, when he was, you know, reading poetry or playing music, he was a good person.
Yeah, you're saying so. There's a expectation in there.
Yeah, which we don't want to fall for, because that's put in there by ego. So as you know, as you move more from this perspective, then it becomes like going for a walk with this guy, you know. So increasingly, and it's a relationship that goes back and forth, right? Sometimes you're identified with ego, sometimes you're coming from unconditional love. So is he. Okay. So sometimes you pick up that recorder and you put it in your right hand and you do the two-handed recording because you're just really upset about something and you just really need somebody non-judgmental and unconditionally loving to talk to about this. And so you just blah, 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 blah. Okay, and then you put it in your left hand and you listen. And you're listening from that compassionate place, from the heart, right? And you just feel great sympathy for him. You know, you just feel sympathy for him. You just listen to him until he gets over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's no concern about what's on the recording or where is it coming from, or, you know, ego is always going to say it's lame or doesn't sound sincere, or always. We're never going to please ego about anything, right? But it's building a relationship. You can pick up that recorder and you can just, you know, you can walk outside and talk about how beautiful spring. Well, it's probably dark where you are now. Is it dark where you are? What time is it? Five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, getting there. Yeah, so it's a little late for that, but there might be stars out or whatever. And so you're just walking along talking about how beautiful nature is and maybe your day and what it was like and what you saw and awarenesses that you had, insights, or maybe something that you're kind of struggling with that, you know, just like you're talking to your best friend. Becomes our favorite companion. So don't let those voices slow you down. You know, if you make recordings and you know, in 6 months you listen to it and you think, ooh, I was, you know, I think that was ego. Got a hold of that recorder, hit delete. It's fine. But if it's just, you know, he was upset about something and having a really hard time, ego will come in and say, well, just hit delete. No, don't, you don't need to delete him. You see the difference?
Yeah, a little bit. It's just very different perspective, and you kind of nailed it. Like, it's just thinking that it has to strike me a certain way, or I have to like feel differently at the end of recording and listening is obviously
right.
a setup, but
that's exactly right.
Gets in there.
And Justin, the main thing that all of practice is about is just learning to take a step back from that information that I'm getting and question it. Well, yeah, but mm-hmm. you don't feel the way you, who's that? Who is that? Because that doesn't sound like those two guys walking along having a nice talk after dinner, right? This is somebody who's coming in and going, well, yeah, but why do you feel, you're not having a, And the more we record and listen, the clearer those different aspects are. You get the sense of that sincere, good, authentic human being. You get the unconditional love that is your true nature, right? And then you start hearing that negative, judgmental, questioning, doubting voice of ego. And that's what this is really all about.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to your next Tuesday off.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Good night.
You too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. Sherry, what kept dropping in during that conversation is unconditional. That's what the relationship that we're going for is. It's unconditional love and acceptance.
That's right. Yeah, and hearing what isn't unconditionally loving, right?
Yes.
And recognizing that actually I don't need to pay any attention to that. You know, that's just nastiness. It just doesn't have anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, drop that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, Zota from Lima.
Hello.
Hi, Zota.
Hi. So, we're going to talk about having fun, exactly.
That's it.
I really tried to just record and listen once about it today, and then try not to think about what I was going to tell you, because otherwise I was going to go crazy, you know, all day thinking.
You'd have to turn it into a novel or a play or something, right? Do a movie script on it.
Yeah.
So you might as well just drop it.
If you knew the movies in my mind where you are the main character, the wise character in my mind, movies, they are counted.
Yoda.
Exactly. Okay, so I don't have it very clear, so I will explain it more or less, but I'm sure you are going to be able to make me clarify it. So sometimes in the cycle of life and practice, I get to these phases when things are really going well. So I'm really more looking at the flowers than pulling the weeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this can include all kinds of stuff, you know. So it can include finding out. For example, I always thought that I couldn't carry a tune, for example. But then with practice and paying attention, all of a sudden I realize that I can sing in tune. And so I'm starting to play all kind of instruments just because I'm so excited about this newfound ability. This is one example. Mm-hmm. But a healthy example. But then there is an unhealthy, within quote, unhealthy example, which is I understood that there is nothing wrong with my body and that actually a lot of people are attracted by it. And so, for example, I've been dancing all night on my balcony with different men enjoying their admirations. There are two aspects of something that I found that is something that is part of life expressing through me, or nothing being wrong with me, you know? But sometimes I don't know exactly how to ride it. Sometimes it feels off. Sometimes it makes me feel so the protagonist of this thing that I forget practice commitments. Or maybe it's just ego telling me, no, if you enjoy life so much, something will go wrong. I'm really confused about this phase.
Yeah. So let me tell you a story that you might be familiar with, okay?
Okay.
And so this young chap, this is many centuries ago, but he decided he wanted to become a Zen master. Okay, he's living in Japan, and which is good, several centuries ago, if you want to be a Zen master. And he wanted to be a Zen master, but let's just say he wanted to awaken and he wanted to practice so that he could end suffering once and for all. Okay? And so he was on his way to a Zen monastery, and because he knew that they could help him get to a place of awakening and clarity so that he could end suffering once and for all in his lifetime. And as he's going along, he runs across this fellow who paints pictures. And he's just completely fascinated. And the guy says, well, come on, here, I got another canvas here, you know, try. And so he's just mesmerized by this. And time goes on, and he's just having the time of his life painting these pictures, right? And then one day it occurs to him that he could spend a lot of time there. But if he did, he might not have a chance to wake up and end suffering once and for all. Okay. Now, I'm not going to bore you with all of the things that he ran into. You know, one guy had a pipe, you know, and he found out that you could sit by the side of the road and smoke your pipe and watch the clouds go by. God, it was just heavenly. And somebody else had a musical instrument and taught him how to play the musical instrument and that. But each time he realized, oh, this is glorious, but what I really want to do is end suffering. Now, the drawback to that story is that in his case, he knew he wanted to end suffering. Now, I'm projecting you know that when you're disidentified, right? Because you know what it's like to get caught in suffering and to be miserable. Is that true?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. Have there been times in your life when you got caught up like that, like the young guy in Japan, and you would get caught up in something, and then at some point it stopped being so fabulous? And in fact, you return to a place of suffering. Has that happened?
You know, I would say no, if it weren't that I clearly remember already having this conversation with you and you telling me this guy's story once before. Which makes me think that
he's probably a previous incarnation of you.
I know what I'm talking about, but you know it's so weird because I have the feeling okay, but then once the guy wakes up and suffering, what does he use this for if not to paint and wander the world and enjoy the beauty of life?
Exactly. Because the difference is that he is not going to run out of that happy energy and wind up in suffering again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I've known you for a few years, so I know darn good and well
that on occasion you wind up in suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You're suffering over work, you're suffering over your colleagues, your customers, your, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, right? And so that's the point of practice, so that you can enjoy all of life, all of life, so that it's not just I'm having a wonderful time when I'm dancing on the balcony with an attractive male, or I'm playing music, or I'm singing, or and I'm having a wonderful time. But I also have a wonderful time when I'm with a customer, when I'm at work, when I'm with my parents, when I'm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I just have a wonderful time. It's not sometimes this and sometimes that. And that's why we practice.
Mm-hmm. And
now, may I? So
please, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So now, I think you probably grew up with some conditioning that says a lot of the things that you really enjoy are sinful or are not okay, or you should feel bad, or you should feel guilty, or you shouldn't do them. The difference with Zen practice is, no, actually, yeah, I'm kind of kidding about this, but you should do them until you decide for yourself what you want to do and what you don't want to do. So being stopped from anything or being made to do anything is a way to suffer. It doesn't matter if what you're being made to do is the most noble, holy thing on the planet. If you're doing it because you're afraid not to, or you feel guilty, or you any of those other things, then it's just a part of suffering, right? And so for me, the encouragement would be, do this the way you're doing it, and just see what happens. Do you actually run out of that energy and wind up in a suffering place again? If so, that'll be really interesting to see. What if the energy never ends and you just sing and dance your way into old age? Well, that'd be interesting to see too.
Oh my God, but would it be acceptable to say, yes, of course it would. I want to sing and dance and practice my way into old age, really.
Yeah, why not? And
exactly.
And so what I think you're really questioning is whether you're doing it consciously or not.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right? So one of the things, when I worked with people before who consider themselves addicted to sex, whether it's sex with another person or it's masturbation or whatever it is that they feel they're addicted to, what I encourage them to do is do whatever it is that they're doing, but do it consciously. And it's almost impossible to do, because the whole thing is set up by ego that you have to go unconscious to be able to do mm-hmm. this thing. Well, that's the road to suffering right there. Right? Now, does that mean that you couldn't masturbate consciously or you couldn't have sex consciously? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Of course you can. Of course you can. And that's what makes it awareness practice.
Okay, I have it clear. And it's such a great reminder. Because right now I have this idea, yes, but I'm also loving my work, I'm loving everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, this way will never end, you know. But I
That's
do
right.
clearly remember talking about this thing with you before, and so it clearly ended in a previous occasion.
That's right. And Isota, that's uh-huh. the other piece of it. That's the other piece of it. Love this, and then whatever happens next, be present for that too.
Yes. Yes. I do think I'm not being present. I do think, yes. Oh, it's so helpful. Can I tell you just one thing about not being present? I think yes. I am confusing this idea of letting life live through you mm-hmm. with going unconscious, you know? Like, I'm not yeah. really here because I don't need to have ego observe every move, you know? I can just, you know, dance as if nobody's watching, not even ego, you know? And that's mm-hmm. okay. But I think I'm kind of confusing it with going unconscious somehow. Yeah. I think there yeah. is a thing there that I'm...
Yeah, right. And so that's what you're going to be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that, yeah. because bottom line, this is awareness practice. Right? It's not figuring out how to be the right person practice.
Yes. Oh,
right.
Okay, fantastic. But anyway, just one last thing. Can you think of the miracle that I couldn't carry a tune to save my life? And just thanks, doing nothing, just thanks to paying attention, doing nothing else but paying attention the way I learned through practice, I started to sing in tune. Can you believe it?
Well, Isota, I can believe it because the same thing happened to me.
Yay!
Yeah, the same thing happened to me. I always wanted to be able to sing. I was never, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, as they say. And then as time went on, I would find myself singing and I would realize that it was in tune.
Ah, that's so fantastic. Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
So who knows what else is possible?
Who knows? It's so fantastic. I'm so thankful for everything. And
we will
talk about the phases of this cycle. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. You keep me posted.
Thank you so much for your help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good day. Gasha. Good morning. Gasha.
Gasha.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. I love that conversation, Sherry. A lot of enthusiasm there. And as you said, it's all awareness practice. It's all awareness practice. There you are, Sherry. Can you hear me?
I can. I started to drop my phone and disconnected myself. I apologize.
No problem. Yeah, I love that. I love that conversation. A lot of enthusiasm for practice, and as you were saying, it's all awareness practice.
Yeah. And this old business that ego uses against us of, you know, it has to be this way. What Justin was talking about, you know, a voice that would say, "Yeah, but you don't feel the way you." Well, mm-hmm. okay, but I feel what I'm feeling. So let's just go with that. Let's be aware of that. Yeah,
yes.
The conditioning that we're up against is so deep and so subtle, and in my view, of course, so exciting to get to see through it and free ourselves from it.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, this is Amy from North Carolina. Hey, Amy.
Hey. I didn't expect to get through.
Well, we're glad you did.
Yeah. I am new to recording and listening, and I've been kind of taking a deep dive into practice.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was kind of like a bystander for a long time, and then I finally kind of hit the edge and decided I needed to make a commitment.
Good.
Yeah, so it's been about a month. And I guess I'm calling for some guidance. I have two teenage daughters. They're 18 years old. And excuse me a second. They have they're juniors in high school, and pretty much they are freshmen. They have struggled a lot with depression and anxiety, and you know, I kind of hit a wall in January with it because I've taken them to counselors and chiropractors and, you know, got vitamins and tried to get them outside exercising, and it just...
Nothing.
No. And it's been hard because, you know, I'm going about my day, having a good day, and then it's just it just seems like every day I'll enter another issue with one of them having anxiety or depression or, you know. And I guess what made me call in, because I was really hesitant, was... one of my daughters was told by her therapist that she thought maybe she had bipolar. And I kind of feel like we've just been going down this slippery slope, and I just, they're, you know, they've been on medication and changed medications, and I'm kind of feeling like, and they're in agreement to some extent that maybe it's time to just stop the medication and try some other things. But anyway, I guess I'm just overwhelmed.
So, Amy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Well, when you said you have two teenagers.
Yeah.
That's good right there. And so they are on actual pharmaceuticals.
Yes, different kinds, and honestly, it doesn't seem to help because it just doesn't seem to help at all. Obviously, we continue to have struggles, and I guess I'm just feeling... Mm-hmm.
But this has been going on for a while, you're indicating, that since this kind of the start of puberty...
Yeah, since they hit ninth grade, they have been miserable on and off, but this year has probably, you know, we've hit it's been more difficult.
And are they, you said get outside, are they physical kind of people? Are they sporty gals, or are they kind of sit in front of a screen kind of gals?
Well, they like to do things. They do a lot of the screen time, but I think with the pandemic, they've been stuck inside a lot and, you know, not doing as much, not getting up, going to school. They're, you know, laying in their beds, doing their schoolwork, listening to their classes. And so it's just been I think it was good when they had school, it pushed them out the door and to get out and move, and I think that propelled them to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and of course, we're getting a lot of information now that this pandemic, the physical toll that it's taken on people, but the mental toll is being taken on a lot more people even than the physical toll on people, right? Because X number of people have gotten the virus, and of course, a horrific number of people have died with it. But everybody has been in that lockdown, stuck inside, you know, just really left to yourself. And not, and a lot of people don't have many internal resources to draw upon, and especially kids, you know, who, yeah, as you say, they wind up in bed all day, you know, doing schoolwork or social media or talking to the friends or whatever it is. And it's just a weird way to live.
Yeah.
So there's that, but then there's mom.
Right.
And so what, what happens to you with that? Do you feel responsible? Do you feel like if you were the right person, you could make this different in some way? Do you just feel tired of it? Do you wish
tired of it?
That kind of
tired of it. Yes, I mean most of the time I'm very like trying to help them, trying to find solutions. You know, you know, you're feeling anxiety today. Let's, you know, try to breathe. But I'm also tired of it. It's just like, I'm doing all the work and they're just laying there and then telling me their problems. And, you know, I'm taking them to counselors and this and that and chiropractors and they're not doing the work. And, you know, I've suggested your books, and they have actually read the book for teens, There's Nothing Wrong With You. But I, you know, I'm kind of like pushing a lot of, you need to meditate, you need to read this book, you need to, you know, I'm sending them copies of your books on audio, you know, like the recorded books, because I thought maybe they would listen to that instead of reading.
Yeah. But what you're getting to, I hear, is that and they are kids, you know, I mean, that's kind of, it's sort of what you're saying, whether there was a pandemic or they weren't going to school or anything else, that is sort of a kid approach an awful lot, you know. We project so much understanding on kids that they just actually don't have. And so, you know, I want to be happy, but I just want to be happy, okay? I don't want to have to do something to, and of course, a lot of adults are that in that exact place too. So part of it is that, right? Just that they're kids, and then there's what's going on with them mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But I hear that they like you.
Yes,
which is truly remarkable. I mean, they want to tell you their problems. That's extraordinary. I know it's not a party, but it is extraordinary. Do you see it that way?
Yeah. I don't see it as extraordinary, but I see that they really like me, and they, you know, they come to me a lot.
Yeah.
And I think what happened to me about a month ago was I just felt like, oh, my gosh, I just feel overwhelmed because I'm you know, trying to deal with my own stuff.
Absolutely. But the thing that, the reason that I say that is that if they didn't like you and they were hostile to you and all of this other stuff is going on and they're hostile toward you, it would be a very different situation. And so I can't help pointing that out. Just because almost everybody I talk to, their 18-year-old kids hate them. And they really wish they didn't, but they do. And so rather than talking to them, they're trying to figure out what's going on with these silent, secretive, hostile mm-hmm. alien beings who live in the house with them. So there's that. And so mm-hmm. what occurs to me is, so you're dipping your toe there into recording and listening. What do you think? How's that being for you?
I mean, it's definitely, I like it. Mm-hmm. I thought I always heard about it over the years. Sorry, I'm outside. And
I'm glad you're outside.
I thought I don't really want to do that. I always just kind of just didn't want to, but I,
a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird, and I felt like crazy, like, mm-hmm. oh, someone's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. But I do like it, and I did write a note about one of the recordings I had the other day, and I thought maybe this is part of what's driving me crazy about them. I'm not driving me crazy, but I just feel, like, overwhelmed with it all.
Yeah. And it's overwhelming, Amy.
Yeah,
it's overwhelming. So, you know, that's we have this, we kid and say, you know, you can trust your feelings. And it's kind mm-hmm. of a little joke, but it's there's also a truth to it, right? So you can trust your perception here. It is overwhelming. So there, mm-hmm. there's no reason to listen to any voice that tells you that you should be having a different experience or you should feel differently about this or whatever. No, it's mm-hmm. it's overwhelming. Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I made a note, and I thought maybe this is part of my struggle with this, is that instead of resisting and not wanting them to be like this, that maybe if I was just present with them in the moment and listened to them, and then...
Yeah.
Not toss all these thoughts about how am I going to fix this for them around
That's
in my
right.
head for days.
That's right. That's right.
And
yes.
also,
yes.
I thought maybe my ego wants problems or latches onto problems to create, so I'm suffering.
You're a wise woman. It's exactly what's going on.
And then... Yes. So when I listen to my daughter's vent, I start to think, I have a problem on my hands. I've got to fix this. And
then
my ego just goes crazy. And that's all I can think about as I drive to work, as I'm at work, you
yep.
know, when I come
yep.
home.
Yep, yep, yep. So let's put all of this together a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the recording and listening is great. A minute ago, it dropped in that you should probably, I'm kind of kidding about this, Amy, but not really. You know, they probably don't need to be in therapy. You do, right? But
uh-huh.
you don't need to be in therapy because you have your handy little therapist. I don't know if you use your phone for recording or you
mm-hmm.
have an actual recorder, but there's your therapist, right? Right
mm-hmm.
there. There's the person to talk to. And I don't know if you were on at the beginning of the show when I was talking with Justin, but there's the person that you can talk to, who can listen, who understands, who knows exactly how you feel, who all of that. It also
mm-hmm.
occurs to me, since your girls like you,
mm-hmm.
that it could be a helpful process to share with them. That you
yes,
could,
I actually, mm-hmm.
yeah, not to, you know, anything that they're going to be resistant to, but just to share with them how you're using recording and listening. And how much
mm-hmm.
it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can talk it out. You can hear it back. You can get some distance from it. It's not just rocketing around in your head, making
mm-hmm.
you crazy and miserable. And it's a process that they might actually enjoy. So instead of going and sitting and talking to a therapist, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't hear themselves. They probably get very, you know, I mean, a therapist who would say to an 18-year-old, maybe you have bipolar,
mm-hmm.
you can tell there's a little reaction that I have to that. That's just not helpful. That is not helpful in my opinion. And so to begin to, you know, you come home from work and they, I imagine, have a lot that they want to tell you. Well, let's do a recording and listening session. You know, you take 15 minutes, daughter one, you know, and talk into the recorder and we'll listen to you. And, you know, some of the other programs that we do, like the recording, the reflective listening buddies that Michael was just talking about, that's a wonderful one where people learn to reflect one another. You could do that with them. They could do that with you. You know, they talk to you, you reflect them so that you really hear them, but you're not trying to solve their problems. They could reflect you in the same way. They could listen to your day at work and what goes on and that sort of thing. And take the whole thing kind of out of a, we're all mired here in these problems, into a, okay, well, let's see how we can approach all of this together in a way that's really mutually supportive.
Okay. I will definitely try that. I have told them about it and told them how helpful it has been.
Yeah. Try it.
Yeah.
And then let me know. Because you know what we could do? The next time around, we, you and I could have a whole conversation that they could listen into. Right?
Yeah.
And then feel included, not talked about. You wouldn't want them to listen to this one because they, it'd be hard not to take it personally, right? But just as a, you know, other people talking about dealing with things like anxiety and depression, my God, our Sangha is, you know, we specialize in it. I suppose because it's my deal, right? It's my history, and so I kind of draw people probably to me who also struggle with these issues. And so, good. You know, they would be very welcomed into this kind of a conversation and see what it's like to be in a conversation with other people who share the same life experience.
Okay. Great. I have one quick question, if you don't mind.
Okay. We got a quick one.
All right. How do you feel about medication? Like, I know that's sometimes necessary.
Medication?
But I'm not, yeah, for depression, anxiety.
A lot of people, because I take this very spiritual approach to things like depression, assume that I'm anti-medication. I'm not. I am very supportive of people using everything in at their disposal. And with an idea of getting off of medication as quickly as possible. Right? So it's like, you know, you injure your foot and you're on crutches. Great. That's really necessary. But you don't want to stay on crutches for the rest of your life. You want to heal your foot and get on with it. Right? And the same is true with anything like depression or anxiety or any of those kinds of conditions. It's just that most people don't want to do that. You know, we're very much a take a pill kind of a culture. And but there's nothing that can't be addressed. I am the poster child that any of those conditions can be addressed through awareness practice, because I've had them all.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you
much
for talking.
Glad to talk with you. Yeah. Stay in touch, huh?
All right. I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. And that was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And there's about 4 minutes to the hour here. Would you like to try it?
Okay. I'll be much more mindful of the time.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Judy from San Francisco.
Hey, Judy.
Hello. trying to participate and to not fall for that bamboozle of, you know, each week, each Tuesday, it's like, oh, no, you can't unmute yourself. Go in the queue, you know, put yourself in the queue for this reason and then that reason and then that reason.
Uh-huh. And tonight there was just no reason that you were buying. So here you are.
Yes, I heard those before. They're broken records.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, not falling for them mm-hmm. this time.
Good for you. So anything in particular going on? Anything you're looking at?
Looking at? I think for the last several months, observing, watching how the bamboozles happen every Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, watching that.
Like kind of a weekly practice.
Exactly. Yeah. Every week.
Yeah.
You know, a little retreat.
And then getting to the point of, which is how practice works, right? Okay, I saw that one. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I fell for that one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Bought into that one. Uh-huh. And then pretty soon we get to the point of, yeah, no, I've seen all of that, and I don't want to fall for that any longer.
Right.
And then you unmute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And get in the queue.
Right. And not even just, not to just disprove the voices or whatever, or, you know, go against them, but just to bypass.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not to engage with them, like, oh, I'm going to do it today. Like, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it.
That's right. Yes. Yes. That's right. Because they're not the boss of you.
No. Like the, right? You know, you're the billboards on the side of the freeway. You know, I don't want to pay attention to those billboards. I'm on my way to ending suffering for this human. I'm on my way.
That's right. Yes. And they're just a distraction, just an interference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very subtle and really important point, because it's not, I project what you're saying. It's not just going to the other side of the duality. You know, well, you can't do this. Well, yes, I can. Watch me.
Mm-hmm.
It's realizing I don't want to be in that duality. It's Tuesday night. I listen to open air. I want to participate. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very, very different approach to life.
Not going into the boxing ring with conditioning, right?
Right, because whether it stops me or whether I'm focused on overcoming it, it's still running the show, right? But what you're saying is, you know, their ego is in its little trunks there in the boxing ring, waiting for you to come in and mix it up, and
the
you just walk out of the building, right? Right, and you're just walking down the street. That's powerful.
Hmm.
That's something, that's a process that we can apply to every duality in our lives, right? When Kim started us off this today with the reflective listening buddies, that's a perfect example. You know, we just start through the dualities. Well, you can't do this, or you should do that. Well, I don't know. And I've had that conversation 10,000 times, and I'm done with that conversation.
Yeah.
Right? So
I'm tired.
Tired of it. Not doing it.
Yeah. Stepping out of the ring, out of the building.
That's right. Into the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
What a great note to end on. Thank you, Judy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. And that is a great note to end on, Sherry.
It really is.
Yes, not fighting it, not engaging it, exiting.
Yeah, just exit. Yeah, perfect. Thank you, sir. So appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you. It was a great show. Right. Thank you. Thanks, Sangha. and go happy.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.